This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Good Thursday to you. And Ron Culver is back. Day off yesterday, but back at it again as we get going on Wake Up Call this morning. Glad you could be with us on SportsMap Radio. Oh, boy, was I all locked in last night watching the Celtics and the Miami Heat. Boston down by 5 at halftime, a back-and-forth affair, and I was like, wait a minute, hold on, pinch me. Are we actually going to get a game that's going to be competitive, a game that may go down to the wire, a game that may be 2 or 3 points in the fourth quarter late in the game, and Jason Tatum's got the ball, or Jimmy Butler's got the ball, and something magical? Nah, forget it. Like clockwork, here comes the big quarter for one of the teams, and in this case, it was the Boston Celtics, who blew open the game in the third quarter, and they win 93-80. A slugfest defensive battle held Miami to 32% shooting. Miami couldn't hit a thing, and again, like every other game in this series, you can point to one moment in every single game, all five of them, where the team that won the game just took absolute control. And in this case, it was the third quarter where Boston was able to really grab the reins of this thing and emerge victorious. Well, there is still some stuff to dissect from last night's game. We're going to get to that coming up as we continue on the show this morning. We'll also look at Golden State as they are looking to wrap it up with Dallas in Game 5 tonight in San Francisco. Do the Mavericks have one more go-around to get that series back to Dallas where, and you know, we always talk about this in a 7-game series, when you've got a team that's kind of fighting to stay alive, if they can pull off a win on the road, if they can get that one victory that they need and get it back home, then, you know, you might be putting enough pressure on the team that's had the comfortable lead to do something. And then in the end, you might be able to score, get enough points to win game 5 and then game 6 and then force a game 7. I don't know if Dallas, I think this is too big of a mountain to climb. Is it possible? Sure, they did it in the Phoenix series a little bit, winning 4 of the last 5 games after kind of losing the first two where they looked like they were completely outmatched. They've looked outmatched in this series, no doubt, because of who Golden State is, but I just think it's too big of a mountain to climb. We'll talk about those NBA games coming up. We'll also get into the NFL news from yesterday that Colin Kaepernick has worked out with the Las Vegas Raiders. This was the one team that sort of openly said, hey, look, if he's interested in a workout, we'll give it to him. And we'll have some thoughts on that as well. We'll also, again, continue to look at the weekend of the Indianapolis 500. We also got Dave Preston coming up in hour number 3 to talk Washington. I'm Tony D. It's Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue this Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. All right, we're going back to 1993. It's going to be an interesting year. This is the time where a ball was hit out to the outfield, and Jose Canseco, playing for the Texas Rangers at the time, was going to make a play on it. And then it knocked him on the head, and it became a home run. Carlos Martinez is hitting a fly ball to the warning track and right. The ball then took kind of a spin, bonked off his head, and went into the out over the fence for a home run. One of the more funny sort of moments in baseball history.
You still see the video today?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw it, but I feel like I've seen it like in the last week.
Why didn't it knock him out cold?
That's true. Right? Well, because, you know, he's all roided up.
Yeah, that's true. So he had some extra muscle padding in his brain.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Golly.
And he's the one player we can say, without a doubt, he was all roided up because he's been on the front line of like, yeah, I took it.
Yeah, no doubt.
You want to know everyone else?
Yep. Yeah. He was such an interesting guy. He
still is.
He really is. He really is. I saw a movie, not a movie, it was a documentary called, I wish I could remember it. It was on Netflix. It was about the baseball card business. And they interviewed Canseco because of his Don Russ rookie card and how valuable it was. But it really wasn't because it was like the Ken Griffey card. It was like overproduced. And they interviewed Canseco, and he was more than happy to be a part of it and talk about his baseball cards and baseball and whatnot. But again, if you go back to the early 2000s, Canseco was when the steroid issue was breaking, and we had all of these, you know, athletes sort of denying steroids. You're right. Canseco was the guy that was like, oh, all right, all right. Listen, I'm the steroid king, and so I'm going to tell you what really went on. And everyone was sort of like, yeah, all right, we believe this. And it was weird because he never really came about it as like, hey, we all were doing it. I feel bad. No, he was like, oh, no. We did it, and I'm the guy. Like, you're going to talk about McGuire and Sosa and Palmeiro? You're going to talk about those guys? No. You can't talk about steroids without talking about me, everybody. Everybody, you need to talk to me. And that's kind of who he was. It wasn't like whistleblowing. It was almost like bragging.
Definitely bragging.
You know, like I introduced these guys to this stuff. What are you kidding me? Look at Palmeiro's numbers.
Almost like
when he came to Texas, they're stratospheric. Why do you think that happened?
It's almost like we should be so fortunate to have him in our lives, and that we need to pat him on the back for saying, thank you, Jose, thank you.
You liked home runs? I'm the guy that really helped out with that whole thing. All of that stuff. Bond, Sosa, McGuire. You ain't talking about steroids without talking about good old Jose Canseco. So in this date, 1993, Cleveland against the Texas Rangers, and Canseco's head provides the bounce that goes over the fence. So it should be a good time for music, the early 90s music. We're kind of in the grunge era, right? And some hip hop, grunge, little pop.
Beginning of gangster rap, and then some bizarre one-hit wonders.
Bizarre other music. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't know where to classify them.
Right, yeah. So as I was saying at the top of the hour last night, I was kind of watching because this was the critical game in the series, I thought. So look, Boston, Miami, this is a big deal. Whoever wins game five, they're going to put the other team on the edge. And so Boston was trailing by 5 points at halftime and didn't look like they were playing particularly well. Jaylen Brown, for example, well, he didn't play really well in the first half. In fact, he was really terrible. And the team was not very good. And they go into the locker room, they're down five, and then they go, now let's turn it up. And as I said at the top of the hour, this is the thing that has been a factor in every single game so far this series, is that we're not getting back and forth basketball. We're getting one team doing something spectacular at some moment in the game, and thus propelling them to a nice double-digit victory. This was the first time in the entire series at halftime that the halftime score was around 5 points, five or below. And so it made you think like, okay, finally we might have a game that is going to be competitive down to the wire. But then here come the Celtics. And then Jaylen Brown, who was 2-for-7 with 4 turnovers in the first quarter of the game, comes out in the second half, 19 points, 0 turnovers. And Jason Tatum scores 18 points in the second half, and Boston goes on to a 13-point victory. And again, one of those sort of slugfest defensive battles, 93-80, Miami shooting 32% from the floor and could not hit a thing from the outside. They were awful from the three-point line. So what can we take out of this series? Well, listen, and this is no bias or anything, given that, you know, I grew up watching the Boston Celtics pretty much all of my early adult life. I think Boston has played better in this series than Miami. I think as a whole, that doesn't mean they're going to win this series. But so far, 5 games in, just the overall feeling, if you were to say which team, and don't worry about 3-2 or whatnot, just play, just the way the games are played, I think Boston has played better in this series. And Miami is just a little too beat up now. But Miami was 15% from the three-point line, 15%. Now, this game Boston outscored Miami 32-16. It was an 11-point lead going into the fourth quarter. So this game wasn't like other games where you're trying to get back from like a 25-point deficit. This is a game where it's pretty manageable. I had a basketball coach one time tell me, I was doing play-by-play for a team, and we got to talking one time, and I said, let me ask you a question. Because as a commentator, I'm trying to continue the enthusiasm of a game when it's double digits late. I'm still trying to keep some level of entertainment. As a coach, if you get to the 2-minute mark, what's the highest you're still comfortable with? He says, well, you can come back from a 15-point deficit 2 minutes into a game, but if I'm making a comeback, if I'm down 25, let's say, and we're chipping away, if I can get the lead to 10 with 2 minutes to go, I feel like we've got a fighting chance. Anything beyond that, it's gonna take some work. But if I can get it within 10 with 2 minutes to go, I got a fighting chance. I always remembered that because, again, I'm trying to keep the broadcast energetic, and sometimes you get a college basketball game. Like I did a lot of Air Force basketball games, and Air Force was good at the time, and sometimes they'd win by 28. And I always remember that. So when I watch NBA games, I go, okay, the team's down 17 points. Can they get it to within 10 at the 2-minute mark? This was a reasonable deficit for Miami to try to overcome it. They ended up losing by 13, but this was a reasonable deficit. You know how many three-pointers they shot? 45. Three-pointers. 45. I know we're into a new level of NBA. I get it. The three-point shot is becoming the new thing. It is becoming the king. But you know how frustrating it is? I mean, again, maybe my age is showing here. I don't know. Do you know how frustrating it is for me to watch a basketball team where the point guard starts to get some penetration, gets into the lane, finds a big man, but instead they find a way to kick it out for the open three? They do it all the time. They do it all the time. Like, nobody wants to play in the paint anymore. Like, nobody wants to establish a presence in the paint. I get it. The Celtics have got Robert Williams. I get it. But every time, like, you're 45 three-point attempts. And the one thing about three-point attempts is when you miss them, you have a very hard time getting the rebound. They're usually long rebounds defended well by the defensive team. And so you're basically giving up any opportunity of getting an offensive board. And 45 in a manageable deficit is a lot, and nothing was falling. It was like Miami was like, you know what? Eventually these are going to start falling. And they weren't. They were 7 of 45 from the 3-point line. 7 of 45. They missed 38 3-point shots. The Celtics took 33 as a team. Miami missed 5 more than Boston attempted. I get it. Again, I get it that it's a new NBA. I understand it. But can we play some inside basketball a little bit? Can you take a 17-foot jumper? Does everything have to be on the perimeter? I don't know if Miami wins the game if they slowed the roll a little bit on the three-point shot, but golly, I mean, at what point do you say, you know what, guys, tonight's not our night from shooting from the outside. Let's figure something else out. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So now they're going to go to Boston, where they've won before, so I can't really say that the Celtics are almost a guaranteed lock to win at TD Garden. And again, if this series is any indication, Miami will win this game with some big third quarter, fourth quarter, second quarter run that sort of blows the game wide open. But I think Miami is just too beat up now. Just too beat up. And Jimmy Butler, 13 points, 4 of 18 from the floor. They're not getting much else from anybody. You know, they still got Tyler Hero out. They got some guys that are really struggling with some injuries. They're not going to make excuses. Jimmy Butler's dealing with a knee. They're not going to make excuses. But overall, we've played 20 quarters of basketball in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think Boston has clearly established themselves as the better team so far. Doesn't mean they'll win it because that's not the way it works. but I think right now they're the better team. And by the way, and I mean this with all due respect to what the Miami Heat accomplished, but if you're looking for a competitive NBA Finals, because I think Golden State's is going to get there. I think most of us think it's just a matter of time. You want Boston. I think this Miami Heat team is done injury-wise when they get to the Finals. I think they're finished. I think this every other day thing is wearing them to shreds. They have no time to recoup. They have no time to heal up. They have no time to put enough rest on these injuries. Miami is going to go in as a walking mash unit when they get to the Finals. I think Boston, dealing with their own issues, don't get me wrong, but I think Boston is a better Finals matchup for Golden State in terms of an entertaining Finals. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. Coming up, we'll talk about Colin Kaepernick, his workout with the Raiders. What could it mean? We'll talk about that as we continue his wake-up call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. 1993, baseball. Canseco's head equals home run on this date, 1993. Oh, we're going to have a good time with the music. When you discover a new favorite bottle of Cabernet or Chardonnay at Total Wine & More, you'll discover a whole lot more. So explore the wondrous selection, totally low prices at TotalWine.com. Well, you find what you love and love what you find. Drink responsibly, B21. We'll get to Colin Kaepernick and his workout coming up in about 10 minutes with the Raiders. Welcome back, Ron Culver. How was graduation yesterday?
As one would expect for elementary school, end of elementary school era.
Not bad, not bad.
Kids' names were read. Kids sprinted on stage. Yep. Sit back down as quickly as they could.
I was talking about this yesterday. My wife and I, in 2 years, will have a son that's graduating college, and we are going to be so proud.
Yep.
But I have no interest in sitting in the Florida heat.
No.
For however long that ceremony is. And I will tell my son this right to his face. I'll say, I'm very proud of you. Congratulations as you graduate and head off to possible medical school. But I don't want to sit in the sun in Florida in May. Do you really need me here? Can I give you a card full of money? Can I watch it on the live stream or something like that? I'm just going to bake.
No, because you're there really to only hear one name.
Right. Exactly.
And for you, that comes pretty early.
Yeah, that's true.
Same here for, came pretty early. It was like, all right, then you got to sit through everybody else's names. And it was like,
And I think in college, I think a lot of big colleges, they do it by schools and all the thousands of names. They just do it by class. So maybe it's not so bad. I think that's what they did in my college when I graduated.
Yeah, but it's still a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Like my son, when he graduated high school, he came up early, and then after that, it was like Mike Davis.
Yeah,
Bob Davis. Oh, we're in the D's.
Yeah.
So then he, maybe get up and use the bathroom. You come back, and they go Edwin Damaris. And you're like, oh my God, we're still in the D's. Oh,
yeah. And then,
what are we doing with this?
Throughout it. There's maybe five or six more names of your kid's friends.
Yeah.
That you're like, I recognize that name. Oh, my son talked about that kid once. I remember him.
Yeah. And then they go, John Quisenberry. And you're like, there's a Q? Oh, my God, there's a Q?
Yeah, that's not allowed.
I'm never getting out of here. If there's an X, I'm walking right out the door.
And then in the back of your mind.
If there's an Xavier or something, I am leaving.
Well, in the back of your mind, that when you hit the Q, you're still sitting there going, we haven't even hit Smith yet.
We're not even in the S's.
How many Smiths are there?
My God. We get to the S's, forget it. Yeah, how many Smiths? We're in the Q's? Oh, give me a break.
They
should make it random. They should draw names out of a hat.
Well, my high school, when they graduated, because it was such a large class, they did four sections. And I like the way they did it. I mean, they sped it up as quickly as they can because they realized, calling out names is boring.
Oh, it is.
So in my section, it was like A through F. Then you had, G through L and then M through. And so they were almost like simultaneously calling names. You would hear one name, and then not even a second would go by. You would hear the next name, and then the next name, and the next name. And that, I thought, was a perfect way to do it.
Yeah, that sounds
this,
like a good
no,
way to
this,
do it.
I mean, it's, well, it's elementary school, it's smaller, yeah, so they just went class by class. But I will say this, my son's teacher was enthusiastic. I loved it. You know, she read all the names. They all, you know, once they all sat back down, she went down the entire row and was like giving them high fives all the way down and hoot and holler. I loved it. About two teachers later, I could tell this teacher was just burnt out from the semester. She's like, you know, here's my fourth, fifth choir class. I know, Johnny, you know, Angel, and, you know, just like read the names. Like, she didn't, I sat there, I'm like, I leaned into my wife, and I was like, she must have been a fun teacher.
Oh, I know, right? Oh, God. So, oh, goodness. So, I was talking about this yesterday about, you know, we've been to a number of these graduations, but I'm all for if a student gets an award, academic award, and whatnot. But when I was a kid, I think what set me off on graduation was I was in the high school band, and we had to play at every graduation. And I hate to admit this. Look, when I look back on my childhood, it takes like an adult eye to see the bigger picture of what I because when you're a kid, you see it through a really like straight prism. I mean, not prism, but like a straight line. But then when you're an adult, you kind of see everything from different angles, right? So when I was in fifth grade, I wanted to play an instrument because my friends were playing instruments, and I got to play trumpet. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't very good at the trumpet, but I didn't care. I learned music, and I'm blessed to have learned music. I can see, even to this day, sheet music, and I know all the notes. I know all the notes, and that's fine. I'm not a musician, and I'm not musically talented. That's fine. So. But the problem with it, and I'll be honest with you, I never practiced. I wasn't into it. So I would take my trumpet home and it would sit closed. I never practiced. But because I never practiced, I was third chair trumpet. Okay? And when you're third chair trumpet, they don't need you, right? They don't need you. You're playing like an offbeat to the song and you're not getting to do the cool stuff. So we get to graduation and we play Pomp and Circumstance and every, you know, that's what the first chair people got to do. I got to do. That's what I got to do. And it was a long time of doing that. And it didn't motivate me to be better. Like, I didn't look at the first chair people and go, oh, you know what I'm going to do next year? I'm going to really work hard. I'm going to practice. I'm going to take my trumpet home and work hard so that next year's graduation, I can sit in the first chair and I'm going to be able to do the actual song with the trumpet. No, it made me go, I think I've had enough of trumpet. And I just quit. I think I quit my junior year. My junior year. I just didn't want to do it anymore. It's too long of a song. And we didn't have a big class. We never had big classes at my little small high school. But it was still long enough to, we're just playing that over and over again. So I think that wore me out as a young man. I think it wore me to the pain of actual graduation ceremonies. Even when they're my own kids, I go, ugh. You're excited for them, but at the same time, I'm like, they give me bad memories.
You just want, you know, read my son's name and let him come to me.
I was telling you this before the show. I don't mean to be like grumpy grump guy, but there are two things I really don't like. I mean, nobody likes going to funerals, so that doesn't count.
Right.
But I don't like weddings and I don't like graduations. I just don't like those two things. I'd rather not go. Don't get me wrong, I'll go, but those are two things I'd rather not go. If you're my friend and you're getting married, I will show up to the reception. I will party with you. I'll toast you. I will give you a present. I'll dance on the floor. I'll eat a piece of cake. I'll participate in the buffet. I don't want to go to the ceremony. Same with graduation. If you've got a full barbecue spread afterwards, I'm in. I'll show up, give you a present, say hi, congratulations, shake your hand, tell you how proud I am of you. But as far as sitting through the ceremony, I kind of rather not. So, all right, Colin Kaepernick worked out with the Raiders. What does it mean next as we continue? It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
informer. You know, say that I'm a snowman, I go blam. Ali keep boom boom them. Take them on the say that I'm a snowman, stamp somewhere down the lane. Ali keep boom boom them.
Wake up call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
We're a couple of breaks into the show, and I'm already liking the 1993 music.
Come on, you know the words, right?
Yeah, right. This is Snow. He's from Toronto, but people think he's from Jamaica. Oh, man, he had a unique sound.
He did.
I loved the name of his album. I thought it was one of the best album names in all, like, Thriller, Purple Rain. They have nothing compared to Snow. The name of Snow's album was, I'm sorry, Snow, 12 Inches of Snow. I don't even want to get into what that means. Snow.
It means bad weather.
It means bad weather, and you don't want to go out driving.
No, yeah, you don't want to be out in 12 inches of snow.
Or it's gonna be a long time shoveling the driveway. Maybe you want to get your kids to help, or maybe you'll hire a plow. Jeez. Snow, 12 inches of snow. Rosemary, my son spared us sitting through his college graduation. He didn't want to go through the ceremony at the University of North Texas, third largest enrollment in Texas. He had no regrets, and I'll forever be in his debt. Very nice. Your son is a hero.
Yes.
Son is a hero. Maybe my son will get a vibe.
Maybe he'll do that. He'll look at the list of names and go, guys, yeah, let's just meet up at the Olive Garden afterwards.
Exactly. If your name was Bob Aaron, right? A-A-R-O-N.
Yeah.
Do you just walk out as soon as you get your diploma?
You know,
like, instead of sitting down?
Yes.
Like they guide you back to your chair and you just go, no, there's the exit. I'm done. Thanks. See ya. Like, I'm not sitting through 600 other people. Like, my parents were blessed in life to have an AA start to their last name, and this is the benefits I get. I'm sorry, Zacharias, that you have to sit through the entire ceremony before you get your diploma, but my folks were somehow through the history of time blessed to have an AA at the start of their last name. So, exit. That's where I'm going.
I really do feel bad, though, for people who have names that are later in the alphabet.
Yeah, I know, right? Wouldn't it be cool if there was one ceremony like, we're starting with the Z's.
Yep.
So, A's, sit down for a little bit.
Reverse order. Yeah,
your whole life you've been going first. Your whole life. Now, today, we're going to go with the Zacharies and the Zacariuses and all those people.
Zappa.
The Zappas, yeah.
They never graduated, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are we kidding?
Exactly. Dweezil was like, Dad, I'm not going. We're not getting out of here. Dad, we're done. Frank was probably like, that's all right. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's do that. What was his daughter's name? Moon something?
I think so.
Moon something. I know Dweezil.
No, exactly. I mean, at my college, it was kind of fun because we did get fun keynote speakers. Now, this wasn't for my graduation. I went to one of my fraternity brothers' graduations, because it was a bunch of them, and they were all kind of lumped in together because it was like College of Arts, which encompasses everything. But Jay Leno keynote speaker, so that was fun. Yeah,
my my college keynote speaker was historian David McCullough, who wrote some books. That's who we had.
Yeah, at least, we had a comedian.
He was good, but he wasn't fun. He wasn't like David Letterman or anything.
Right.
Exactly. So,
but that's about it. I mean, if you get a good keynote speaker, you want to hear that speech. I don't care what the president of the university has to say.
Ugh.
I don't care if your class had a valedictorian or a student representative that was going to give a speech. Not really interested in what they have to say because they all say the same thing.
My son missed out on being valedictorian by just a hinge. And there was a period of time where he thought he was going to do it. And I said, oh, we are going to write the greatest speech in the history of speeches. We're gonna forego
all the cliches.
All the cliches. What you're gonna do is when you get up, you're gonna say, "Hey, a class of 2020, I'm here to tell you, you're not changing the world. So let's not pretend we are. Let's go out there, get jobs, raise families, and live basically miserable lives like our folks, and just keep the cycle going. Let's do that, everybody.
Keep making babies.
Get into debt, buy a house. Can't pay it off.
I mean,
let's just go through life.
Let's be
like
honest.
That.
Let's be honest. How refreshing would it be if you have to go to a graduation and the valedictorian comes up there and almost word for word recites Rodney Dangerfield's speech from Back to School?
Why not? It's a great movie that this generation hasn't seen.
Yep.
So you could. They may not know, and you could probably take it. Like just give practical advice. You know, like just give practical advice to people like, hey, hey, when you're making sauce, when you're making Italian sauce, put a bit of the pasta water in it and stir it up.
Yeah.
Makes it taste good. Do like little things like that.
Or
you're doing stuff like that.
Or be real and let them know. It's like, hey, I know you guys spent the last 4 or 5 years slaving over this piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's not going to help you out.
It's not
going to do a damn thing for you.
Exactly. You know, drive a crappy car and buy the best house you can afford. That kind of stuff. That kind of stuff that was in books, like little books.
Maybe we should just start, ghostwriting.
By the way, what was the remember? Hold on 1 second. I love when we get on these tangents, by the way. They're so good. I was ready to talk Colin Kaepernick, but I'm on a roll now. Wasn't there a song? It was a song. It was an older guy just giving advice. He was just like, and don't forget the sunscreen.
Oh, yeah. Boz Luhrmann.
Was that, it was like a song, but it wasn't a song. No, it was on the radio.
So it was like a poem.
Yeah, it was like a poem.
Yeah, because there was one line there that always stuck in my head because, I lived in California when that song came out. And it was like, live in New York City once, but leave before you get hard or you get too hard or something like that. Or,
right.
But live in Northern California once, but leave before you get too soft.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how I always said, that one stuck out in my head all the time. It's like, yeah, because you know what? New York people always seem angry. But they're not. That's just the way they talk.
That's just the way they talk.
And California people always seem, kind of lazy and laid back, which is how they are.
Right.
There's some truth to
that
one.
There's like an example of like, let's say you were in San Francisco and you didn't have any shoes on. Somebody in San Francisco might go, do you need shoes? And you're like, yeah, I need shoes. Oh, come with me. We're going to go to this. I'm going to get you some shoes. Oh, this guy needs shoes. A New Yorker would go, you need shoes? Come here, buddy. Let's go. We're going to get you some shoes right now. Why don't you have any shoes? We'll talk about that later. Let's get this guy some shoes right now. Let's get him some shoes. Over here, 42nd and 3rd, we're going to go up there. There's a store right here. We're going to get you.
Sunscreen.
That's it.
If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists.
I can't believe that this was. We heard this on the radio all the time.
It was on the radio.
My own meandering experience.
Was there music to it later?
I think so. Maybe I think this might just. Now. No, there we go.
Yeah, there it is. There. Okay. I was like,
enjoy
I remember
the power and beauty of your youth.
This is what I'm talking about. Future valedictorians, this is what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Don't talk about how you're changing the world, everybody. Listen, good Lord, I would have wanted one of you of the thousands around the country that have happened over the last 30 years to have done something that dramatically changed the world. But
yeah.
None of you did.
But I mean, the advice to wear sunscreen. Practical.
Right. Practical advice, wear sunscreen. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, right. Robert on Facebook has gotten me the, everyone's free to wear sunscreen. Yep. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it. See, you guys come through in the clutch. You always have. I love you. I love all of you out there. So it's graduation.
God, I'm going to have to listen to that whole thing because I don't think I've heard that since.
I was just thinking the same thing. I was just thinking after the show, I'm going to have to throw that
when
on.
I'm curious now. When did this come out? Because, it was on all the time.
And I'm going to, what's going to be funny is I'm going to listen to that and go, did I take any of this guy's advice? Did I follow through?
It says, I don't know how accurate this is because this comes from the YouTube page that it's on. It says, the lyrics are taken from a famous essay written in 97 by Mary Schmick, a columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Okay. So, all right. So he took that and just made a song out of it.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
That's fantastic.
Again, if you're a parent and you have a child that is close to maybe will be valedictorian and has to give a speech, get them to dump the whole we're changing the world. It's our time. It's our
step forward.
Exactly.
Don't look back.
Let's show the adults how bad they did. And
what did somebody say yesterday? It was like, let me give you three life principles. One of them was like, stand out in the crowd.
Yes.
You know, like all the stereotypical cliches you hear all the time.
Yes.
Like, be your own person. Be who you are. You know, stand out. Don't conform. And
practical tips, you know, like practical tips, like iron your clothes. It looks better, right? Right? Buy a size a little too big when you get to a certain age. Little things like that. Like, hey, meatballs are good with just ground beef, but throw in some sausage and you'll have some really good flavored meatballs. Things like that. Things like that will just make you go, oh, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. That's exactly what I'll
do. Or, you know, they're young and their metabolism is up. Guys, listen, yeah, you know, you can have Twinkies now, but if you keep doing it, you know, you'll notice a significant change in your body.
You know what advice I would give young people? Yeah, exactly right. You know what advice I would give young people? And gas prices are too high right now, so maybe this wouldn't be a good advice. I would say go on a road trip to nowhere.
Yeah.
Go pick, like, take a week off. Pick somewhere on the map that is way far away from where you live. And get some friends and go on a road trip. Have fun. Mm-hmm. Load it up with junk food. Load it up with your favorite drinks. Drive. See things. Stop for no reason whatsoever. Just like, hey, what? Why not? Let's go to this town.
Yeah, maybe now it's taking a bike.
Now it's taking a bike. Yeah. It's kind of ruined a little bit because gas is like you need a small mortgage to afford it. But if gas ever gets to be more reasonable, do that. Those are the kind of things I would tell in my graduation speech. So there you go. Boy, that was fun. That was really fun. And I learned something new. I know now that song about the sunscreen and where to get it. Good stuff. Good stuff. I promise you we'll get to the Kaepernick working out with the Raiders thing. But that was fun.
That was all worth
right. It. It was well worth it. Coming up next hour, we're going to do a little different thing. We've got Bonte Hill from the game out in San Francisco. Our good friend. Remember the guy that called me Charlie, but he's cool. We like him. He's going to talk Golden State and their series with Dallas. Not so much about the series, because I think they're going to wipe out Dallas and be done with it, but the overall resurgence of the Golden State Warriors. And again, look, they disappeared for 2 years, and now they're championship level good. And then we're going to have the good, the bad, and the dumb at 40 past the hour. That's all coming up in hour two. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 1993 on a throwback Thursday, the ball hits Jose Canseco in a game between Cleveland and Texas. And it becomes a home run. It hits him on the head. Is this Ugly Kid Joe?
This is, yes.
Oh, God, see my memory. I'm going to play this guessing game all show today. So I want to thank Mark on Facebook as well, responding to our graduation bit. Says he had to stop to respond going to a graduation tonight, and he said he'll think of us fondly. Great. I don't know fondly. I kind of put words in his mouth. He said he would be thinking of the bit. Yeah. I hope fondly, Mark. I hope.
Well, he's going to sit there. I mean, he knows what he's getting into.
Yeah, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah. He's not surprised. He's going to sit there like, what's his last name? Or just a letter?
L.
Oh, you know what? That's is that a good spot?
It's not bad.
I mean, you know, the anticipation is still there.
You're right. That's actually a good spot to be in because you get half anticipation and then half we're almost done.
Yeah, like we're halfway through this.
Yeah, you're A, B, or C, and D. Yeah, that was me. Like, we got it, and then we wait.
Or the W's, if you're like W, X, Y, Z.
You get excited.
You're sitting there like, oh my God, it's going to be forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Got a kid next to you nagging you. Hey, is this almost done? No, man. Son. No. Ugh. We're far from it being over.
Bonte Hill's going to join us next hour, the game in San Francisco. I always liked – we talked to him about the 49ers. I don't think we've never talked to him about anything else.
We never reached out, but yeah. He probably knows a thing or two about the Warriors.
Yeah, Warriors going to be possibly closing out Dallas tonight. And going to the NBA Finals. And, again, I can't stress this enough, sixth time in 8 years they'll be in the NBA Finals.
I mean, you're absolutely – the story isn't that they're – you know, the story really isn't that, you know, how the Mavericks are going to come back.
Yeah, we're not going to be like, oh, how are they going to guard Luka in game five? They're going to just do it.
They're just going to do what they do. And then it's really – it's like, how do they keep this gravy train rolling with
– Yeah, rolling along.
Because I still don't feel they have a huge superstar. Yeah. I mean, they do with Steph Curry, but – You know what I mean, like a big man.
Well,
that you kind of, that every team's always seems to need.
The funny thing about them is this, and this was the way too, even with Kevin Durant when they had Kevin Durant, was like if I don't watch a game and I see Dallas 120, Golden State 111, right? I go, oh, Luka must have had a big game, right?
Right.
Same thing with Boston in a way. I know Jaylen Brown led the team in scoring, but if Boston wins, can make, I go, oh, Jason Tatum must have had a nice game or whatever. Like, you can have the Golden State Warriors win and Steph Curry score 22 points, like 20 points. And it could be Draymond Green that scores enough, or somebody else that scores enough, or Jordan Poole scores enough. Like it. There's no identifier that makes you go, that's, I didn't see a second of this game. I just saw the score. I can't assume anybody did anything, but I can assume with everybody else. I can assume Joel Embiid had a big night if I see the Sixers win big. I can assume that, like I said, Jason Tatum. I can assume Luka Doncic. I can assume...
You can assume LeBron went off for LeBron, the Lakers because right? Nobody else played.
Right, because nobody else played. So there are teams where you go, ah, I know how they did this. I'm anticipating that the number will be pretty big for that player. Steph could have a nice night, not a great night, but Draymond could have a brilliant night. Steph could have 35 points. He could have 20 points. Klay can chip in 25. He can chip in 30. That's the danger of this team. They can get scoring from anywhere. And again, they've taken Jordan Poole and they've welcomed him in and brought him in and said, "You're part of this now. You're
part a splash of this, brother.
You're a splash brother junior. And welcome to the club. This is kind of what we do around here. We win basketball games and go to NBA finals." So Bonte Hill is going to join us early in the hour. Then we'll have the good, the bad, and the dub at 40 past. It's Throwback Thursday. Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call.